Vasudeva.
Nishamya, hearing, Lokatraya, of the three worlds, Mastakatvaram, the headache, Tam, him, Adi, the original, Daicham, demon, Hanina, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hatam, killed. Mride, in battle. Praharshavega, by an outburst of ecstasy. Utkalita Ananaha, whose faces blossomed. Muhu, again and again. Prasunavarshahai, with showers of flowers. Vavrishahu, rained. Surastriyaha, the wives of the demigods. So, translation, Hiranyakashipu had been exactly like a fever of meningitis in the head of the three worlds. Thus, when the wives of the demigods in the heavenly planets saw that the great demon had been killed by the personal hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their faces blossomed in great joy. The wives of the demigods again and again showered flowers from heaven upon Lord Nrisimhadeva like rain. You can repeat. Hiranyakashipu had been exactly like a fever of meningitis in the head of the three worlds. Thus, when the wives of the demigods and the heavenly planets saw that the great demon had been killed by the personal hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their faces blossomed in great joy. The wives of the demigods again and again showered flowers from heaven upon Lord Nrisimhadeva like rain. So there's no purport to this text or the next few texts. So we'll just keep reading until we get to a purport. So text 36. Tadavimanavallibhirna bastakalam tadrikshatam sankulam asanakinam saranaka dundu bayotak jagnire Gandharva Mukhyanan Ritur Jagustriyaha. At that time, the airplanes of the demigods who desired to see the activities of the Supreme Lord Narayan crowded the sky. The demigods began beating drums and kettle drums, and upon hearing them, the angelic women began to dance, while the chiefs of the Gandharvas sang sweetly. So then we have several texts together, texts 37 to 39. Tatropa Raja Bibula Brahmendra Girisadayaha Rishya Pitarasida Vidyadara Mahoragaha Manava Prajanam Bhattayo Gandharvapsaracharanaha Yaksha Kimpurushastata Vitala Sahakinkaraha Kinnaraha Te Vishnu Parshada Sarve Sunanda Kumudadayaha Murdni Badnanjali Bhuta Asinam Tivatejasam Idire Nara Shardulam Nati Dura Chara Pratak. My dear King Yudhisthira, the demigods then approached the Lord. They were headed by Lord Brahma, King Indra, and Lord Shiva, and included great saintly persons in the residence of Pitriloka, Siddhaloka, Vidyadhara Loka, and the planet of the snakes. The Manus approached, and so did the chiefs of various other planets. The angelic dancers approached, as did the Gandharvas, the Charanas, the Yakshas, the inhabitants of King Naraloka, the Vaitalas, the inhabitants of Kimpurusha Loka and the personal servants of Vishnu like Sunanda and Kumuda. All of them came near the Lord, who glowed with intense light. They individually offered their obeisances and prayers, their hands folded at their heads. And finally, text 40. Sri Brahmo Vacha Natu Smyanantaya Duranta Shaktaye Vichitra Viryaya Pravitra Karmane Vishvasya Sarga Stiti Samyamam Gunahai Swalilaya Sandadate Avyayatmane. Lord Brahma prayed, "My Lord, you are unlimited, and your prowess, and you possess unending potencies. No one can estimate or calculate your prowess and wonderful influence, for your actions are never polluted by the material energy. Through the material qualities, you very easily create the universe, maintain it, and again annihilate it, yet remain the same without deterioration. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you." So, purport, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The activities of the Lord are always wonderful. His personal servants, Jai and Vijay, were confidential friends, yet they were cursed, and they accepted the bodies of demons. Again, in the family of one such demon, Prahlad Maharaj was caused to take birth to exhibit the behavior of an exalted devotee. And then the Lord accepted the body of Nrisimhadeva to kill that same demon, who by the Lord's own will had taken birth in a demoniac family. Therefore, who can understand the Lord's transcendental activities? Not to speak of understanding the transcendental activities of the Lord, no one can understand even the activities of His servants. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Madhya Lila 23rd chapter, text 39, it is said, Tanya Vakya Kriya Mudra Vigyeha Na Bhushaya. No one can understand the activities of the Lord's servants. Therefore, what to speak of the activities of the Lord? Who can understand how Krishna is benefiting the entire world? The Lord is addressed as Duranta Shakti because no one can understand His potencies and how He acts. My glasses on. So, Om Gana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on this verse, which Srila Prabhupada very nicely summarizes in Prabhupada's purport, goes into very explicit details about what Lord Brahma is implying by this prayer. Because he's saying that my Lord, talking about the Lord's potencies, and then how the Lord creates, maintains, and again annihilates the universe. But actually, he is meaning beyond or below all these different things is that he's saying, you made the Kumaras get angry. That's the first thing he's saying. You made the Kumaras get angry, which is interesting. What does it mean, made the Kumaras get angry? He arranged the whole situation. And within the heart of the Kumaras, he arranged that they would get angry at the Jai and Vijay. Because normally, people who are on the Brahmavuta platform, like the Kumaras, they don't get angry. It's not a common thing. You know, not a common, it doesn't happen at all. Actually, someone who's a Brahmavadi certainly doesn't get angry at anything because they have their senses controlled. And, of course, a devotee can get angry, you know, when someone is offended or when the Lord is offended or something like that. But a Brahmavadi never gets angry. So Lord Brahma is saying, you made them get angry. And then Lord Brahma says, you made Jai and Vijay fall. This is all from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And then he says, you made me give blessings to the demon. So it almost sounds like he's blaming Krishna for everything. But he's not really blaming. He's saying, you made me do this. You made your devotee appear in a family of demons. You inspired the demon to actually torture people, torture his son. Then you manifested yourself. Then you and then he says, I don't know your limits. And then exactly as Prabhupada said, I respect your energies. And you are Sudha-Shatva. Even if you're angry, he says, you're still on the spiritual platform. Which is actually very, very interesting. In other words, all these things were arranged by Krishna. You know, everything from the curse to the Palad Maharaj being there to Aranyakashipu appearing. I mean, it's just like Krishna arranging these things. But how did he arrange these things? Did Krishna just like arrange it directly? Actually, it's arranged by the yogamaya potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why Lord Brahma here is referring to the energies of the Lord. Because there's the Mahamaya and the Yogamaya. And the Yogamaya potency arranges everything. Like you read about Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, and Yogamaya arranges everything in the forest of Vrindavan, you know, with Vrinda, of course, who is in charge of the forest of Vrindavan. But all the arrangements for Krishna's pastimes are there by Yogamaya. So Yogamaya, because all these personalities we're talking about here are actually pure devotees. Everybody from Hiranyakashipu, who was previously Jai, to Palad Maharaj, to Lord Brahma. I mean, they're all pure devotees. Except for the demigods. Most of them are Sakama devotees. So Krishna arranged it, and then Lord Brahma is saying that he doesn't really understand why Krishna does this. However, we can analyze, because of the knowledge given to us by the Acharyas, why Krishna does these different activities. And of course, yesterday, Krishna Prabhu was speaking about how Krishna wants to enjoy, and I mentioned that previously, when Prabhupada was asked about the purpose of everything, and Prabhupada replied, the purpose is to enjoy. Which is really an interesting question. But I explained that the other day. So it's for Krishna's enjoyment, because in the spiritual world, there are certain activities that Krishna doesn't execute. And Krishna wants to enjoy the rasa, the complete rasas from all the different activities. Of course, in the spiritual world, you do have a manifestation of the five direct rasas and somewhat of the seven direct rasas, but there's some of them that are not completely manifested. I mean, like ghastliness is not really there in the spiritual world. You don't find bones and blood and rivers of heads floating down. I mean, if you hear about Parashuram, whew, I mean, lakes of blood, how scatological can you get, isn't it? I mean, how gross can you get? Lakes of blood. So, therefore, I was thinking about this, that Lord Nrsimhadev, that specific incarnation of Krishna, exhibits practically all, not practically, but he does exhibit all of the indirect rasas. Think about it. I mean, because you may question, what about Hasha? Where's the humor there? But then, if you read this particular chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll see the first thing Lord Nrsimhadev does when he appears, he's laughing. We'll go back to that text, if I can find it. You know, before he attacks Hiranyakashipu, let's see. Anyway, that's at the very beginning of the appearance of Lord Nrsimhadev. Here we go. Anyway, it's there in the chapter. I can't find the verse right now. But it does say that he has a shrill laughter. Anyway, it's not that important, because I remember exactly what it says, shrill laughter. So there's Hasha there, and then the other ones and I wrote down these different indirect verses. Adbhuta. Now, what is Adbhuta? Adbhuta means amazing, wonderful. It's like we chant in the prayers of the Lord Nrisimhadeva, Adbhuta Shringam, right? A wonderful form. And then Vira. Vira is what? Heroism. Just like Prabhupada gave me my name as a servant of Krishna, he said, Veer Krishna, and that of course is, the name is actually Vira in Sanskrit. It's not referring to an alcoholic beverage. It's referring to heroism. So Vira, so Lord Nrisimhadeva is exhibiting the greatest heroism. Actually, Prahlad Maharaj is exhibiting more heroism than Lord Nrisimhadeva, because Lord Nrisimhadeva is God. And so he's not risking anything. But Prahlad Maharaj is showing the greatest courage. So you got Vira exhibited. You got Karuna. Karuna means mercy. So Lord Nrisimhadeva is showing his mercy by saving his devotees and annihilating the miscreants and all that. And then what to speak of Rodra? Rodra is the same thing as Rudra, the Rudra principle, which means anger. So he's showing anger to the highest degree. I mean, where do you see those things in the spiritual world? I mean, there is some man, Radharani gets angry at Krishna, but it's not like Lord Nrisimhadeva gets angry at Hiranyakashipu and fights Hiranyakashipu. There's man, but it's very sedate in comparison. And then Bhayanaka, there's fear. Not that Lord Nrisimhadeva has fear, but that Hiranyakashipu becomes very fearful hearing the Lord's shrill laughter. And finally, Bibhatsu. Bibhatsu means ghastliness. So the way that Lord Nrisimhadeva kills Hiranyakashipu, not only is it in the doorway of the house in the twilight hours, but it is actually pretty ghastly. I mean, he takes out his intestines. Now, you couldn't think of a more ghastly way. I mean, it's one thing just to knock the guy on the head, and yet that's it. You know, Lord Nrisimhadeva could have done that. Just give him a good blow to the head, you know, and he's dead. Could have broken his spine. He's dead. But he used his nails, and he took out his intestines and put his intestines around the neck. Just like sometimes some people come in the temple, you know, and I remember some of the temples, they had a picture of Lord Nrisimhadeva right at the entrance of the temple, and they practically have a heart attack when they walk in. Who is that? Or what is he doing? I mean, that's pretty ghastly. So anyway, so this is the esoteric reason the Lord advents as Lord Nrisimhadeva and has all these interesting pastimes. Because he's enjoying, and he wants to enjoy the tastiest thing. The tastiest thing means all the rasas, all the indirect rasas. And they can't be enjoyed, some of them can't be enjoyed to the fullest extent in the spiritual world. So the material world, the Lord makes the arrangement. He makes his devotee get cursed. He makes this happen. And there's other instances of devotees getting cursed too, like in the Tulsi Vivaha story. Then you have Tulsi Devi getting cursed and Krishna's coward boyfriend getting cursed. So Krishna just arranges it. So the question is, you know, don't the devotees get a chance to complain that Krishna is doing this? You know, I was thinking, you know, if I was in the spiritual world, you know, by some stretch of the imagination, and then Krishna wanted me to come down and get cursed and come down to the world, you know, I'd have some objections there. Isn't it? I mean, come on, Krishna, I'm having a good time here. You know, why do I have to go to that place? But that mentality means that I'm not actually a servant. Because basically the mentality of those, that means I'm not ready to go back to the spiritual world. Because the mentality of those in the spiritual world is whatever gives Krishna pleasure, even if it means, you know, going down to hell, I'm willing to do. Like the gopis with the famous headache story. that they were willing to give the dust of their feet to Krishna. And of course, in the Bhagavatam, we have this famous verse, Narayana Paraksarve Dakavtashtana Bhivyati Swarga Apavarga Narakeshu Apitulya Artha Darshana. That the topmost devotee of Narayan, a pure devotee, is willing to go to heaven, hell, back to Godhead. And of course, even Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying, Kita Janmohoy Yata Tuya Das. I'll take birth as a worm, if you want, in the home of your devotee. I just want to remember you all the time. So certainly Hiranyakashipu was always remembering Krishna. There's no doubt about it. Out of anger, he was remembering Krishna. So the devotees are willing. I mean, that's really the price to go back to Godhead. That you're willing to do whatever it takes to please Krishna. Isn't that interesting? So in other words, there's no complaints. It's not that Jaya Vijaya say later on after they go back to the spiritual world, what the hell did you do that to me, Lord? You know, I was just minding my business, guarding the door. And then you sent me down to that place. No. They were thinking, if that gave you pleasure, I'm happy. That's pure devotional service. So anyway, so this is what's going on the esoteric level with the Lord's pleasure. But I was also thinking about why exoterically Lord Nrisingadev comes down. I mean, actually I wrote down several reasons. And they're actually probably more than that. The first reason was that he's showing the danger of offending devotees and great souls. First, in the Jai and Vijay story, where Jai and Vijay offend the four Kumaras, and actually it's not even a big offense, isn't it? I mean, it's just like, huh? Just doing your duty. You know, some kids show up at the door naked. Because they were naked, you know, the four kids. I imagine four naked kids showed up at the door here. I would probably say, you know, get yourself dressed and bring your parents. Isn't it? What's that? Yeah, I call social services on the kids. You know, huh? You want to come in? You know, you have to be qualified. At least have clothes on. And so they're showing up. And they're not actually pure devotees at that point. They're actually Brahmavadis. You understand? Not pure devotees. They became pure devotees when they smelled the tulsi leaves and the flowers offered at the lotus feet of the Lord. That's a description. That description is usually used when the Atmaramas verse is explained, you know, how those who were self-satisfied or taking pleasure in the self are attracted to the pastimes of the Lord and the qualities of the Lord. Urkme kuranti bhakti tambutag gunahari, the qualities of the Lord. So the danger of offending even great souls, even Brahmavadis. And then, of course, then Hiranyakashipu offends Prahlad Maharaj. Of course, this is all play. And he's showing the danger that Lord Nrisingadev comes and shows the danger of offending great devotees like that. So this is the first lesson for us. You know, you're saying, you know, I'm not offending great devotees. But, I mean, even the four Kumaras were not great devotees at that point. They were Brahmavadis. So we have to be very careful. Of course, in the Upadeshamrita, it says that we should, in the purport, and in the verse, actually, it says that in our mind we should offer respect to even someone who chants Hare Krishna once. In other words, offering respect means we don't disrespect them. I mean, you can take it in the opposite way. You don't disrespect them. So even if someone offers chants Hare Krishna once, we offer respect in the mind. And of course, one is initiated, so seriously prosecuting devotional service. We can make friendship with them, and if less advanced, we can help them. More advanced, we serve them, etc., like that. So this is a very important lesson for us. And the second lesson I have listed here is shows the importance of parents having the proper conception at consciousness at the time of conception. And I'm not referring to Hiranyakashipu here. I'm referring to the parents of Hiranyakashipu, Kashyapa and Diti. You understand? So there's even a lesson in Garbhadhan Samskara there in this particular thing. And because they had the wrong consciousness, they had the wrong type of kid. However, it also shows that even if you do have the wrong type of consciousness, you're the wrong person, you're a demoniac by nature, by good association, that's the next lesson, you can actually come to Krishna consciousness. Like Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of demons. It says virtually he had demoniac blood flowing in his veins. Yet by the association, he was a pure devotee already, but I understand. But the example's given that by the association of Narada Muni, even when he was in the womb of his mother, Kayadu, he achieved a very exalted status. I understand he was already at that status. However, the pastime or the teaching in the pastime shows us that by good association, even someone who is demoniac can become Krishna conscious. There's many other examples of that, such as Valmiki and Magrari the hunter, the prostitute of Haridas Thakur. I mean, we can go through our whole Vaishnava history and find many, many examples of that. So in other words, what shows here, or the lesson we're learning here, is that association is extremely important. Like I know, sometimes, you know, we're talking to people who are going to the university, and I ask them, do you drink? And they say, yes. We have to drink because otherwise no one will associate with us. In other words, all their friends, even though they don't want to drink, they're forced to drink because if they want to have friends, they have to drink. Even I was speaking to someone I'm preaching to in India. He's a real estate agent. I said, give up drinking. He said, I can't, because otherwise nobody will come to my house and talk about real estate, commercial real estate. And this is India. So anyway, so association can change the heart. That's another lesson. And another lesson is to show and reassure the devotees and everyone how the Lord is protecting you. Devotees get very inspired by this. Story of Lord Nrisimhadev and Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj, how he's protected, because it reassures them that Krishna is always protecting us. Not only is he always protecting us, as I think you quoted this verse yesterday, Krishna is carrying, preserving what we have and carrying what we lack. Ananyas chinto yanto mam yejanak paribhasate Teshav Nityabhayuktamam Yogik Shema Vahamiyaham. Krishna says in the Gita, for those who are devoted, Ananyas Chintaya, who their minds are not attached to anything else or not focused on anything else but me, then I preserve what they have, carry what they lack. And so Krishna is protecting us at every minute. But we don't really have faith in that, so therefore we get an anxiety. That's what I've seen sometimes, because we don't understand Krishna's behind things, especially for devotees. For non-devotees, it's the material energy. And they're controlled not by Yogamaya, as we mentioned in the beginning, but by Mahamaya. But for us, Krishna's arranging different things, and so somehow or other we're getting an anxiety about things when we should have faith that Krishna's taking care of us. I mean, it's very hard. Actually, this is one of the hardest things, to actually, when the going gets tough or things get intense, to actually have faith that's Krishna, not get an anxiety, have an anxiety attack. Anyway. So, then another thing is, he shows the difference, Lord Nrisimhadev shows the difference in this pastime between pure devotees and mixed devotees. Like the mixed devotees, generally they were very much afraid of Lord Nrisimhadev, but the pure devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, he just walks up, and it's described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that Prahlad Maharaj actually sits on Lord Nrsingadev's lap and is licked by Lord Nrsingadev, like a cat licking its master. So the pure devotee is like that. In other words, a pure devotee is always sitting in the lap of the Lord, being taken care of by the Lord. I mean, there's a metaphorical way to understand that. And one of the final things we can learn from this is that Krishna is controlling everything. This is exactly what Lord Brahma is saying in this final verse here, that you're doing all these things without deterioration. I offer respectful obeisances unto you. So Krishna is controlling everything. So everything that happens to us is actually directly being controlled. That doesn't mean we blame Krishna for our own foolishness. You know, if we do something foolish, it's not that Krishna's fault. But things that are outside of our control, Krishna's controlling everything. So this is what Lord Brahma is saying, that you did this. You made Hiranyakashipu get angry and torture his son. You made the Kumaras curse. So it's all you, Krishna. And this is how a devotee should see things. As Krishna says in the Gita, for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I'm never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. So this is Krishna consciousness, to see Krishna everywhere. Not simply universal form, but to actually see whatever happens, interaction with material energy, you know, bad weather, good weather, blasphemy, praise, these things occur. I mean, just like yesterday I was informed there was one blasphemous Facebook site about me. Not blasphemous, but actually critical. I can't say people are blaspheming me, that would make me a devotee. But they're critical Facebook page of me. And so Krishna arranged it. I didn't put it up there. So you have to really see Krishna everywhere. And see, Krishna is gradually bringing us back to his eternal abode. So any questions or comments about these things? Purva, you always have questions.
Yeah, I want to do another one. What was that verse that you just quoted about? I see, devotee is never lost to me.
Oh yeah, for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I don't remember the number of that verse in Bhagavad Gita.
Okay.
I'm never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me.
Okay.
I don't remember. I'm not so good with that stuff. Mm-hmm. But that's there in the Bhagavad Gita. You can look it up in your database.
Yeah.
And also Krishna says in the Bhagavatam that I am in the I'm in the heart of the sages, sarva ridya mayam sarvanam riyam tvaham maranyate na janati naham tebyo managapi, that I am in the heart of the sages, and the sages are in my heart. The devotees are in my heart, sadhava. Sadhava means the sadhus. And because the sages do not know any, or the devotees, do not know anyone else but me as theirs, I don't know anyone else but them as mine. So it's reciprocal.
What is that term, Bhagavatam?
That's from Bhagavatam, yeah. That's in sixth canto somewhere. I don't remember exactly where.
No, the reason I was asking is because I've been listening to some classes by B.B. Madhava Goswami.
Yeah.
And he's saying if you hear a verse that you're attracted to,
you should learn it. Well, Drishta will inform us about for the Bhagavad Gita.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there anyone else?
You said we weren't supposed to get angry, but in certain cases, I guess, where blasphemy is happening.
Yeah. No.
Or should we just see and move on with our lives?
No, we should try to get it taken offline. We should do something productive. Anger should never be expressed in a non-productive way. It should be focused to accomplish something. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Like, anger that's expressed in a non-productive way is just like, it's material. It means you're controlled by the anger. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what you're supposed to do. Because if you just get angry and lash out, and also with the internet, if you try to defend someone, then it'll get worse. Or if someone tries to defend themselves, it gets worse. You really don't want to get into that.
Okay.
It actually creates more problems. Whenever there's anything posted about me, I just let it ride. Because I'm not supposed to defend myself anyway. But I've experienced before through the school of hard knocks that when I have responded to something like that, then it just turns into a big argument and gets worse on the internet. Does that make sense? So yeah, you just ignore these things. Just like I had one disciple who was a member who just wanted to see what was happening at this one conference called the Dharmaputani Conference, which criticized women. You know, criticize women doing anything else other than having babies. So he just wanted to say, I told her, get off of it. It's not going to help just because you're trying to put some common sense into that conference.
Yeah, you get sucked in.
You get sucked in, and then it just increases the venom.